We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
NFL free agency is happening right as we are recording this, Sean, and things are leaking out over the last couple of hours, but something's happening possibly as we record here through this show. We thought we would do a quick update on some of the, I guess, our opinions on what has changed with the players based on their landing spot, how it affects some of their teammates. Is it good? Is it bad? Should we target these players in draft? Should we try and trade for them in dynasty? What should we do? So we're going to do a little bit of a around the world view of it. But Sean, we are sitting here Monday, March 11th. How are you feeling as free agency kicks off? It is that kind of thing where we know it's happening, but even with, you know, the combine and everything, it feels like it almost has snuck up just a little bit here on a Monday afternoon.
One of the great things about the NFL offseason is that there are no breaks. So good news, bad news, depending on how you look at that and how much of a breather that you want. But we're really fired up still about the combine. I had the article out last week looking at the first two rounds and how I project them to play out, not necessarily what my rankings are. Information in there from the Workout Explorer, giving you a sense of what some of the athletic comps are based on the combine, giving you a feel for what some of the box score scout comps are when you take the production element into it as well. Colin, we had a lot of fun working on the RotoViz draft guide over the weekend. Unfortunately, there was a little bit of a family emergency that slowed down one of the key pieces there. So we're going to probably have it come out about 24 hours later than we had hoped, but that will be out soon. We're fired up about it. Colin, you and I are going to talk a little bit about Dynasty on Wednesday. But as you mentioned, the legal tampering period open, contracts being negotiated and reportedly agreed upon. Let's jump in.
Yeah, lots to go. So I think we will probably go through what is happening and then maybe head on the players that we want to talk about as we go through it. But, you know, quarterback, a lot of movement happening, a lot of expectations as to what could happen. And then the difficult part with some of these things like quarterback and like running back that we'll talk about in a moment is there is a certain amount of, you know, seats or chairs available for the quarterback position and for the running back position. But there's either getting there too early and not getting as much money as maybe they could potentially get, but there's also been left there with no seat available when the music stops at the end of it. So quarterback over the last couple of days, obviously Russell Wilson from the Denver Broncos is now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sounds like he's going to sign a very team-friendly deal, which means that the Broncos will be paying up to $38 million off his salary this season. So pretty smart from the Steelers, and I guess that gives them a first look here at him. He's looking to do a little bit maybe like what Baker Mayfield has done, betting himself this season, even though he is still getting paid very, very handsomely to do so. It's not like he's taking that, you know, low salary to try and show that he can do it. But similarly, he'll want to get a longer term extension after this particular point in time. So he's down there. Then we get the Buccaneers re-signing Baker Mayfield. Big, big deal for him. 3 years worth up to $100 million for Baker. And obviously he did bet on himself last year and had a pretty successful run. We can tie that one in, I think, with Mike Evans, who is back also with the Buccaneers. But Sean, one that'll be a little bit of a surprise to me. I know that Mac Jones hasn't had the greatest run so far, but traded from the Patriots to the Jaguars for a late round pick. Obviously, they invested a lot of him in him with the first round pick a couple of seasons ago, so that has changed very quickly. We'll now back up Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, and then Kirk Cousins, as we record this, hasn't signed anywhere, but it seems like him and the Falcons are going to be pretty much in heavy conversation. There's a chance that he could go back to the Vikings, but it seems like the Falcons are probably the place to go. And then Sam Howell, Sean, apparently some of the front offices around the league willing to give up at least a fourth round pick for Sam Howell, which I think based on his contract that he is on and the capital you have to give up, would I still think it wouldn't make a huge amount of sense for Washington to give him up for the deal that they would be getting. But for Sam Howell enthusiasts like we are, it might be a pretty positive thing if that did happen. Out of all of those, Sean, on the quarterback side, obviously Baker Mayfield is set in a situation that he's been in. Russell Wilson is going to into a situation where it's kind of a little bit hard to get very excited about. And on that, I guess Deontay Johnson also looking for potential trade movement out of Pittsburgh. But the one that intrigues me the most out of all of those is if we were to get Kirk Cousins in Washington in the dome where we know he can play it like he did in Minnesota, coming off his injury with some of those players like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. I think that would be pretty exciting out of the news that we're circulating here at QB if that did happen. Probably just speculation from us at the moment because it hasn't been confirmed. But out of the quarterbacks, what is piquing your interest the most?
The interesting thing, and you know, we'll get to this when we go to running backs as well, but in so many of these cases, the teams that are striking early appear to be teams that, I mean, maybe are in that middle range where they're not going to get the same types of reinforcements in the draft, at least at the top of the draft. And they're in this sort of limbo stage where they're good enough to compete. They don't really want to completely tear things down. And yet, almost all of the moves that we're seeing seem like strange, you know, shifting the chairs around on the Titanic types of plays. It's also interesting when you think about the quarterbacks. You mentioned Mac Jones. If the Patriots had a different staff in place last season, then he would have been mildly successful. If you don't have Bill Belichick, you know, running him down, then you get more than this, I think, in the trade. One of the things that's interesting here, I think the Jaguars have done a good job. A lot of these teams that are power teams, I mean, you want to have a viable backup. And when you don't, you have a season like the Jets, where, I mean, the Jets are probably one of the six or seven best teams in the NFL last season. But because you don't have a viable backup, you can't get through and still accomplish some of the same things. One of the interesting deals with the Steelers is that it's almost the opposite, where so many of these things are redundant. Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, these players have different traits. They have different characteristics, and the way that they play is going to obviously manifest itself very differently on in terms of how it relates to the play calling, what you need from your offensive coordinator, how you're going to run your receivers out there. And yet the issue that you have is those three guys are equivalent. I mean, why are you bothering to add another broken player into the mix? I mean, Russell Wilson, where he is at this point in his career, is basically Kenny Pickett. And if that's the case, why wouldn't you let the young guy have one more chance? And what the Steelers need to do is go out and upgrade, right? So I really struggle with that element of it. I really struggle with the Patriots giving away Mac Jones. None of these moves make sense.
I think they will argue that they're upgrading from what they got last year to Russell. I think Russell Wilson last year was much more advanced than Pickett, but I understand what you're saying in terms of the development of a quarterback. We know what Russell Wilson is. I don't think we're going to change that at this point of his career. Mac Jones, surprised by how quick the Patriots are moving on in that situation?
Well, a little note here in terms of the players. Now, there may be, you know, dynasty managers out there, redraft managers out there who are saying, yeah, I mean, the Steelers players are actually better. But you look at the 2023 season, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, they finished the year with more yards per route than Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. Now, we know that Jeudy is another one of these pieces where he's been moved on to the Browns after a failure of the season last year. But there's nothing that Russell Wilson did for those guys in terms of getting them the ball, for example. He's able to get the ball to Judy and Sutton at a lower rate per route than the various cast of characters is able to get the ball to Pickens and Johnson. So I mean, we're working through it from that perspective. And you consider as well that on the one hand, you have Sean Payton, one of the best offensive minds of the century, a Super Bowl champion, someone who still has a lot to prove probably without Drew Brees. And yet that contrast to the Steelers, where they're firing their offensive coordinator, they're blaming their offensive coordinator on Pickett's struggles. Now, some of that they no longer have to do because they've made a move for another quarterback. So you don't have to message it in the same way. But these contrasts, I would suggest, again, I think the Steelers were probably fine. This isn't a move that dramatically helps a George Pickens or Deontay Johnson, who should still want to get out of Pittsburgh. And when you look at Pickens and his inability last season to truly get up there in terms of commanding targets, yes, he has the fast finish. His ADP is a little bit surprising for 2024 when we look at early best ball. Again, based on those mammoth games at the end, you can certainly look at that as a breakout. But with the things that we have seen from him in terms of the frustration of that development in year two, and also these character concerns, which the Steelers are willing to massage and work through and not hold him accountable for, that's good in some ways. You don't want the guy buried in the doghouse like you'll get on some teams. And yet at the same time, I mean, where's the growth going to come from if you're not holding players accountable? I would be looking to move Pickens on the theoretical quarterback upgrade, on where he's being drafted currently in best ball, on this idea that he still has third-year breakout potential. Now, that's not to say I'm necessarily right or that the third-year breakout potential isn't there, because it obviously is. You've got a guy with an amazing ability to pull in the ball at the sidelines. You've got a player who, as we witness, can occasionally get behind the defense. But within the context of this team, this offensive coordinator, the multiple running backs they want to get the ball to, and a quarterback who is more or less just a throw it up and hope guy, not someone who you can run a real NFL offense with. I mean, one of the frustrating things here you would have to think for Arthur Smith is that he moves from one quarterback in a situation where you can't run a real NFL offense to another one where you can't run a real NFL offense. A lot of listeners are going to be shouting, you know, at the recording, say, Arthur Smith doesn't want to run a real NFL offense anyway. The question is, Colm, are the things that he wants to do that don't work going to be in any way, shape, or form compatible with the things that Russell Wilson wants to do that also don't work in a way that you can gain any yards and score any points on an NFL field? I think that in some ways, what we have here is a team that we now can, you know, really truly avoid and not have to worry about too much outside of Jalen Warren.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, hang out with friends, read a book. So many options. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The best way to squeeze some more into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make that a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I began therapy in early 2023, and I found it has helped me set boundaries, learn positive coping skills, and add a lot to my day-to-day, and some of that being prioritization, to be able to focus on what is important at that time rather than trying to focus on everything that is going on in my life at that exact moment, which leads you to not be in the moment because you're thinking about stuff that is out of your control. And having that awareness has helped me throughout my day today, and that is something that I have found to be very positive for me. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rotoviz today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rotoviz.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Moving on to wide receivers, Sean, and quite a bit of money at the position delivered over the last couple of days. We got Mike Evans signing new terms on a two-year contract, as I mentioned earlier in the show, with Tampa Bay. We get the Colts re-signing Michael Pittman, 3 years, $70 million for him. Then we get Jerry Jeudy, which I guess maybe, again, the Broncos, I think they're more in a rebuild situation than they may want to admit to, I guess, their core supporters. But Jerry Jeudy to the Browns in exchange for a 2024 fifth and sixth round pick. Then we get Kendrick Bourne, another one I was a little bit surprised about working his way back from injury, signs a three-year contract up to $33 million with the New England Patriots. A little bit of a strange one for me. And then we get Kyler Lockett re-signing and restructuring his contract over the last couple of days, which again, it wasn't really a case that he was ever going to get cut, but they did need to do a restructure. But again, not ideal for JSN. But we did talk about it last year. I think we should hope for more in year two where he completely bypasses Lockett on that depth chart. We get T. Higgins, who was franchise tagged, now looking to get a trade from the Bengals. This may be a case that it's just a tactic to try and get a longer-term contract administered, but I think that there's a good chance that we see Higgins move on from the Bengals through this period in time. And then I did mention Deontay Johnson looking to see if he can get a trade out of Pittsburgh. And the last one, Sean, that broke just as we are recording is the Jacksonville Jaguars have signed Gabriel Davis to a three-year contract after he finished up obviously with the Buffalo Bills in his previous contract. So lots of stuff in there, some news for, I guess we'll say, some of our favorites, and we can include Jerry Jeudy in that, but that opens the door maybe a little bit more for a Marvin Mims. Tyler Lockett obviously associated with JSN, and just a couple of quite interesting moves in there, and some of the best decisions I think the teams can make. You mentioned about the teams making moves in free agency. I think some of the best things the teams can do is not be in on that first wave of free agency. Sometimes I think the best players that will make the biggest difference to the NFL teams are in that second wave, but likely the guys who have the biggest impact for fantasy are going to be the guys here that are getting paid the big money at this first wave of free agency.
Yeah, you mention the Gabe Davis signing, and to me that feels a lot like the Chiefs Marquez Valdez Scantling signing of several years ago, where MVS does have a couple of big catches in the playoffs, including an important touchdown in the Super Bowl where he's more or less left uncovered. Probably the previous week where you make the great catch down the sideline is more important, and yet his contributions over those first couple of years, obviously minimal to the extent that having him out there and running routes is really hurting your offense. Now, I do think that Gabe Davis is better than that. And yet at the same time, you're talking about a vertical player who has trouble drawing targets consistently. When you think about the number of donuts that Davis posted this last season, you put that into this Jaguars offense where they've had a lot of trouble, and similar trouble really in some ways to the Philadelphia Eagles, where so much of what they did in 2023 consisted of handing the ball off to Travis Etienne, smashing him into the line, even though that's not where he's going to be at his best, and then throwing these very difficult vertical passes down the sidelines where Calvin Ridley is trying to make a diving catch as he's covered, as he's going out of bounds, as the safety is coming over to also contest. And the question there, and one of the things that is somewhat interesting, as Ridley's free agency is something that Trevor Lawrence has commented upon and said that he'd like to have him back. He thinks that, you know, they were on the verge of this fantastic season. You think about some of the touchdowns that almost happened there. It's like, yeah, I mean, some of those plays can be made and might be in the future, and yet you've constructed in your offense in a way in which you're going to have a lot of these near misses, in order for Trevor Lawrence to rehab again, it's crazy with him. You have this rookie season with Urban Meyer where he's absolutely atrocious, and he looks like, despite coming in as a supposed generational prospect, that he's going to be a bust. Then you move into, well, it was Meyer's fault. You bring in a real NFL coach. Doug Peterson does a nice job. He rehabs that value, starts going very early. He looks like the guy with the big arm, with the ability to make decisions very quickly. Trevor Lawrence really gets the ball out. He's got some maneuverability, some mobility in the pocket. And then you go to this third season where, as the Jaguars collapsed down the stretch, it was a full team collapse, but certainly Lawrence played poorly. And when we're trying to figure out how you rectify that, it's hard to understand how adding more pieces that are so similar to the pieces that have more or less failed in the past is going to be a solution. Now, this can just be one of the pieces, but similar to some of the running back situations that we have coming up, the question of wide receiver redundancy in Jacksonville as opposed to upgrades or opposed to moving this team in a direction that makes more sense, that's the question I think that as an outsider you have. Obviously, Jacksonville is going to feel like they have some reasons that this move makes sense specifically within the context of their offense. Colin, I do think it's interesting when you have Judy moving from the Broncos and these situations where throughout the first 4 years of his career, he struggles to stay healthy. He has some seasons where he gets some big air yards and can't really convert them. He has some struggles at times with drops. And so you have this player who is very multifaceted, and yet the inability to, you know, sort of play big and the inability to stay healthy has reduced him to much more of a peripheral player. And then you have the season with Russell Wilson where, again, he struggles to get the ball to his key guys, but he also really struggles to throw the ball over the middle. That's one of the things that's been discussed sort of at length with him and the problem that he kind of gives you as you're trying to develop and play call an offense scheme within the context of a game. You can see that in a variety of places, including his NFL player page on our NFL Player Explorer. My question would be that if you move to a team like the Cleveland Browns that is more analytically focused, is going to want to play some of these routes over the middle, is going to want to accomplish some of the things that the Miami Dolphins have done with their offense, where if you can make that work, if you can complete those middle passes, then it really opens up a lot of other things. We know it's a high value area. The question is whether or not Jerry Jeudy is still that guy. At a certain point, when a player flashes, comes in with a big pedigree, but doesn't develop, the probability there, even though he's dealing with a lot of things that he can't control, is simply that he's just a guy. At the same time, the Browns outside of David Njoku could really use some more receiving firepower. There is this question of Amari Cooper, who was in some ways not necessarily a tournament winner, but determined like who was going to be involved in week 17 as he has the 1 week massive blow up in the playoffs. Outside of that, he played poorly or disappointed, I should say, based on expectations preseason. He's an older player. We know from a lot of Blair's research and just our intuition, the age arcs in a variety of different sports, that once you get into this category, you're dealing with some collapse potential. I mean, this is what you need for Judy, because another year in Denver was not going to get it done. I think we still have to be very cognizant of the fact that when mediocre receivers change teams, that's usually not
Silver
bullet for them. Right. And so the question as well here with what Cleveland has also stuck themselves with, right? So this is an analytically focused team that nevertheless went out and got Deshaun Watson, dealt with all the bad press, you know, locks into the massive contract. He's dealt with some things. I mean, he's going to argue that once his shoulder is back and better, he's going to come out and he's going to be the same guy. But I mean, you're moving from a team that wants to get rid of Russell Wilson to a team that desperately wishes they hadn't made the move for Deshaun Watson. You're not going into a situation where you have an elite QB. I think this is fun. Certainly it unlocks or gives us the chance to unlock Marvin Mims. Now, one of the first things that Sean Payton says about this is, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we're doing this is we've got to get Marvin Mims involved. I mean, he's the head coach. He decides who plays. If you thought your guy was good, if you had a Zay Flowers or you had a Puka Nacua or, you know, you had a Tank Dell, I mean, play him. Right? I mean, you have that option. So again, we want to be a little bit skeptical of the idea that this in and of itself is going to be the piece that makes a difference. I guess I do still have some confidence that Sean Payton is going to make some moves as we go through the 2024 offseason. to where Mims, especially at his price. Now, you would expect his price to jump, but again, I mean, a lot of drafters are going to be justifiably skeptical of a player that the Broncos appear to be much higher on than the consensus among NFL teams. Now, we did a lot of shows, Colin, last spring, where everybody who came on is like, yeah, we don't understand why Marvin Mims isn't higher. The Broncos are like, we don't understand why Marvin Mims isn't higher. And then the Broncos proceeded to show to all of us why Marvin Mims wasn't higher. So, you know, we have to take that into consideration. I'll be interested to see what the Mims prices are over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it may be to our detriment versus where his price may have been, you know, if things had stayed as they were. You did mention with the Gabe Davis thing and Calvin Ridley, seems now most likely that the Calvin Ridley situation, that he would move elsewhere. It just notes on the contract, it's $39 million over 3 years with a chance with incentives to get up to $50 million. So they are outlaying quite a bit there for Gabe Davis as well. Moving into the running backs before we wrap things up. And before we get into the running backs, one tight end I wanted to mention, Sean, and sometimes I'm very surprised with the money tight ends get. And look, I like Hunter Henry, but 3 year contract worth up to $30 million seems like the Patriots, along with the contract towards Kendrick Bourne, they're just trying to get rid of some of this money that they have available to them. But then when we get to the running backs, Saquon Barkley and conversations with the Eagles, there is chances as well. You know, the Bears had been linked, but obviously the next player that I'm going to mention is now with the Bears. We'll see what happens with Saquon, but the Eagles or the Texans would be very interesting landing spots for him. But as we are recording, no change on that. If that does change throughout the rest of this recording, I will let you guys know. But we also have the Bears signing DeAndre Swift to a 3-year, $24 million deal, which is interesting, but there's a few of those Bears running backs that were of interest, and it kind of, I think, crushes them a little bit. And our enthusiasm for Swift last year is going to be interesting if he's in a situation where he goes to a team with another running quarterback that may take some of that goal line work away on him. We get Tony Pollard signing with the Titans, which I mentioned to you before we started recording, Sean. This one kind of bummed me out a little bit in terms of I was very excited about Tajay Spears heading into the season. Obviously, Derrick Henry no longer there, and we'll see where he lands over the next couple of days or weeks. But that there leads to Tony Pollard and Spears both being there in Tennessee. And I mentioned the Bears there, Sean. We didn't mention in our QB conversation Justin Fields, but that is still obviously up in the air as to, I guess, I mentioned the enthusiasm for if we got the Falcons getting, let's say, in this situation, of Kirk Cousins. But maybe that doesn't happen and it opens the door for him there. But it has quietened down over the last couple of days in terms of rumors and reports for what could happen there. And it feels like that might ramp up again ahead of the NFL draft and teams offering compensation to maybe get a Fields. There's also a chance that maybe Justin Fields isn't the starting quarterback in 2024, which I hope doesn't turn out to be the case. But those running backs, Sean, how do you feel about Swift with the Bears? Any preferred landing spot for Barkley? And do you feel as, I guess, has the air been taken out of your balloon as much for Tajay Spears as it has for me?
Yeah, let's start with Spears, who last season averaged 4.5 yards per attempt, but the peripherals here were fantastic, right? You get an 11% broken tackle rate. You get an 11% forced missed tackle rate. That gives him an evasion rate around 22%, which easily trumps the rest of these guys that we're looking at. One of the things that was so surprising last year is that Tony Pollard, despite the presence of this elite passing game where Dak Prescott and especially CeeDee Lamb are rewriting these records, Pollard really struggles before contact and ends up only forcing a missed tackle in terms of on 3% of the runs there, which is extraordinarily low for a guy who needs that type of dynamism in his profile, in his package, to be somebody that you want out there on the field. And so, I mean, you can make an argument that now you have this elite 1-2 punch. It's no longer a thunder and lightning. It's ideally a lightning and lightning. And yet what Spears brings to the table at this point in their respective careers would appear to be far superior than what Pollard brings. And, you know, as a drafter, you do occasionally like some of these backfields that have some redundancy, because then you can bet on a variety of different guys at different prices. The prices tend to be very inexpensive when you have one of the players injured or underperforms. That's one of the things that could happen here, is that Pollard could underperform to the point where this is almost entirely still Spears, and you're getting Spears at a much lesser cost. So from that perspective, you know, why not be excited? Certainly if you have Spears like Pat and I do in Dynasty, I mean, that part is frustrating because you're looking at Spears as potentially being a top 12 running back before this signing. I guess I don't really understand why the Titans would have been completely out on a Derrick Henry, who actually, again, had very good peripherals last season and gives you a little bit something different. Now, maybe you're just assuming that the prices are going to be dramatically out of whack. But I mean, one of the weird things about some of these early running back signings is that the market dries up so much at a certain point that stars are getting a similar or lesser deal than what, you know, almost backup caliber players are getting to start out, or at least that's what it appears to be, right? The other one that you mentioned there is the DeAndre Swift, who again, at this point, I don't know, a lot of listeners are going to be like, you guys have portrayed him as a star too many times to immediately list him as a backup here. But one of the things that happened last season with Swift is that he gets off to this great start, but then he goes through a stretch where he collapses along with the rest of the Eagles offense. And so as soon as he doesn't have those holes to run through, everything falls apart. We talk a lot about Swift as being maybe the premier yards before contact back in the NFL. He's got this ability to see the hole, to hit the hole. You want to have a run to daylight type of element to most of the backs that you go after, from a big play perspective to win you individual games, from a price perspective. You usually get a much cheaper deal on run to daylight than you get on broken tackles, which, you know, broken tackles have some benefits to them, but aren't necessarily a fantasy counting stat. And yet when you look at Swift and you look at, again, his breakdown of the 2 yards before contact, the 2.5 yards after contact, that part of it is good. We talk from time to time about these backs who do have that, the 2 and the 2.5. So that split works. And yet you go in and you look at some of his peripherals, the broken tackle percentage below 5%, even for someone who's bringing these other elements, and certainly if they're bringing them in an offense where you think the offense is helping them significantly, then that portion of it is pretty disturbing. You contrast that with a Roschon Johnson, who's a 2.3, 2.2 guy last season, someone who I think was a lot better before contact than people might have guessed. You look at Herbert, who's a 1.9, 2.7. Now, one of the things here with Chicago is that you have Justin Fields in the help that he provides the running backs because he's a mobile QB, and then what we would anticipate happening going forward. Now, Caleb Williams, also a mobile QB. It's possible that he breaks out as a rookie and that he does CJ Stroud mixed with Lamar Jackson types of things. And if that happens, then whoever the running backs are in that group are probably going to be fairly efficient. Ideally, you're going to have some goal line carries because Williams, despite having that mobility, probably doesn't carry at the goal line quite as many times as some other mobile quarterbacks might. But to have this redundancy here at the running back position, a position that Bears already had covered, and a position that we know teams like the Kansas City Chiefs winning multiple Super Bowls with guys who were failed college players, this isn't the way to spend your money to build this team that dominates the trenches on both sides, that has a fantastic secondary, that has some peripheral pieces in the passing game that allow a young QB to emerge. I think when you're sitting there and looking at DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, you're thinking, we've got a pretty good start. I'm sure the Bears have some other plans. Like some of the other signings that we've already discussed, at least on the surface, this doesn't appear to be a good fit and doesn't appear to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the other thing that I didn't mention in terms of the contract, there's obviously reports leaking out, but it would appear that he's like into the kind of top 10 of guaranteed money over the course of those 3 years in the contract. So looks like he, you know, it's unfortunate the running backs aren't getting paid what they're actually worth. Like the running backs should be getting paid more than they're getting, and they're kind of being left behind by the other positions. And obviously we talk about that from a fantasy football perspective, and that helps our fantasy roster, but these are obviously players at the end of the day, which you want them to make their worth. But in a situation where you have those two running backs that they had, it feels like a little bit unnecessary and could have devoted it to potential other positions, and then to pay at the high end of the market, even for a player that we really like, seems to be at this moment in time not the best move from the Bears side of things. But that is going to do it for this. I've been refreshing my Twitter as we've been going through this, Sean, to see if any additional news come up. Very interested to see what happens with Barkley, for example, but we'll see what happens over the course of the next few hours and few days, and we will recap that on future shows should we have that information. But that is going to do it for a bit of a free agency recap roundup. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening in. We'll get this one out for you as soon as possible, so you'll be listening to it on Monday shortly after that news has broken. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at OvertimeIreland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Check out Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. And until we are back, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on Rotoviz Radio. Please rate and review the Rotoviz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Rotoviz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to Rotoviz with a discount through the Rotoviz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.